attachment to his lotus feet is to perfection that fulfills all desires. He opens my darkened eyes and fills my heart with transcendental knowledge. He is my Lord, birth after birth. From him ecstatic prema emanates. By him ignorance is destroyed. The Vedic scriptures sing of his character. Our spiritual master is the ocean of mercy, friend of the poor, and Lord and master of the devotees. O Master, please be merciful unto us. Give us the shade of your lotus feet. Your fame is spread all over the three worlds. We take shelter of your lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Should do the trick.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Giri Badadhari. Gopi Jana Balaba Giri Badadhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Giri Badadhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Padavajikacharya Stotra Satasishimara Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON BBD Founder Charya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Paravajikacharya, Sota Dasata Sri Srimad's Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Ki Jai, Ananta Gauri Vaishnavinda, Ki Jai, Namacharya Shlahadadas Thakur, Ki Jai, Prem Sekaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhuna Chananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Basadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda, Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogopinath, Shamakunda, Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan, Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Nabadweep Mai Purdam Ki Jai, Ganga Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Tulasi Devi Maharani Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Brihat Madanga Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Gurung Garanga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, second chapter, text 21. Tasmad bruvor antaram anayeta. Tasmad bruvor antaram anayeta. Nirura sapta yatanon apeksha. Nirura sapta yatanon apeksha. Stitva mohor tardam akunta drishtir. Stitva mohor tardam akunta drishtir. Nirbidja mordan visrijit param gata. Nirbidja mordam visrijit param gata. Tasmad bravor antaram anayeta. Niruda sapta yatanon apeksha. Stitva mohor tardam akunta drishtir. Nirbidja mordan visrijit padam gata. Any Vaishnavis like to join? Okay. Tasmat, from there, bruvo, of the eyebrows, antaram, in between, anayeta, should be brought in, niruda, by blocking, sapta, seven, ayatana, outlets of the life air. Anapeksha, independent of all material enjoyment. Shtitva, by keeping. Muhurta, of a moment. Ardham, half. Akunta, back home, back to Godhead. Drishti, one whose aim is targeted like that. Nirbidya, punching. Murdhan, the cerebral hole. Vrishrijet, should give up his body. Padam, the supreme. Gataha, having gone to. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. But before I even read the translation and the purport, I want to read a few sentences from a previous purport, two purports ago, to try to avoid confusion, help devotees avoid confusion in their mind, because I know that when I read this, if you're like me and you haven't been paying full attention over the last few classes, you could get confused when you hear this. So to avoid that, I'm going to read you the three or four sentences from a previous purport where Prabhupada says, controlling the life air by the prescribed yogic process is mechanical, and the practice is more or less a physical endeavor for spiritual perfection. So we're going to be hearing about that. In the olden days, such practice was very common for the transcendentalists, for the mode of life and character in those days were favorable. But in modern days, when the influence of Kali Age is so disturbing, practically everyone is untrained in this art of bodily exercise. Concentration of the mind is more easily attained in these days by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The results are more effective than those derived from the inner exercise of the life air. Okay, so just kind of keep that in your mind now as you're hearing the translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, the bhakti yogi should push the life air up between the eyebrows, and then, blocking the seven outlets of the life air, he should maintain his aim for going back home, back to Godhead. If he is completely free from all desires for material enjoyment, he should then reach the cerebral hole and give up his material connections, having gone to the Supreme. Purport. The process of giving up all material connections and returning home back to Godhead, the Supreme, is recommended herein. The condition is that one should be completely freed from desire for material enjoyment. There are different grades of material enjoyments in respect to duration of life and sensual gratification. The highest plane of sensual enjoyment for the largest period of life is mentioned. The highest plane of sensual enjoyment for the longest period of life is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 20. All are but material. Let's see if I can remember that. Trivijja, Mamsoma, Paputa, Papa, Ishva, Svarga, Gatim, Pratayante, Te Punya, Asaja, Surrender, Lokam, Ashnanti, Divyam, Dividevi, Bogan. Not bad. So, that the translation for that is, since Prabhupada mentions it here in the purport, is that there are people, they study the Vedas, and they're actually called Trivedis, but they're they don't understand that the goal of studying the Vedas is to become a pure devotee of Krishna. And what they do is they're performing these sacrifices to Indra, Chandra, different demigods, so they get elevated to the heavenly planets. Prabhupada specifically mentions in the purport Maharloka, Jnanaloka, Tapaloka, so Svargaloka and up, where they enjoy godly delights, it's mentioned, and for a long period of time. Prabhupada says in the purport that they enjoy a sense pleasure that's thousands of times greater than what we do here on earth. And so they're, you know, illusioned like that. That's why in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Vidaischa savar aham eva vejo." I am the goal of understanding the Vedas. Anyway, in the next verse, which Prabhupada doesn't quote, but Krishna says, "Shine punya marcha lokam vishante." Shine punya marcha lokam vishante. I can't remember. Archita, can you help me out? Anyway, it explains in the next verse how when they use up their pious merits, they come down. And Prabhupada, in his purport, likens it like a Ferris wheel, where you go up and you come down. It's like, by performing these sacrifices to the demigods, they accumulate a certain amount of pious credit. And when they use that up, they have to come back down to earth and be like ordinary mortals. So, and Krishna says in the translation, so by their process, all they really achieve is repeated birth and death. So, not a good idea. Anyway, going on. So, all are but material enjoyments, and one should be thoroughly convinced that he has no need of such a long duration of life, even in the Brahmaloka planet. He must return home, back to Godhead, and must not be attracted by any amount of material facilities. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 59, it is said that this sort of material detachment is possible to attain when one is acquainted with the supreme association of life. So do any of our devotees 5 years or less, we've been here 5 years or less, anybody know Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 59? 5 years or less. Okay, 10 years or less. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 59. Right, how many years have you been a devotee? Okay. Well, let's slide. Go ahead. What is it? Translation? The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, okay, but the taste, the desire still remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one becomes fixed in consciousness. At least that's the translation from the old days. I don't know if it's the same in the new books. Same. So that's that. Prabhupada goes on to say, Padam drishtvanavartate. That means experiencing the higher taste. One cannot be freed from material attraction unless he has complete understanding of the nature of spiritual life. The propaganda by a certain class of impersonalists that spiritual life is void of all varieties is dangerous propaganda to mislead the living beings into becoming more and more attracted by material enjoyments. As such, persons with a poor fund of knowledge cannot have any conception of the Param, the Supreme. They try to stick to the varieties of material enjoyments, although they may flatter themselves as being Brahman-realized souls. Such less intelligent persons cannot have any conception of the Param, as mentioned in this verse, and therefore they cannot reach the Supreme. The devotees have full knowledge of the spiritual world, the personality of Godhead, and its transcendental association in unlimited spiritual planets called Vaikunthas. Herein, Akunta Drishti is mentioned. Akunta and Vaikunta convey the same import, and only one who has his aim fixed upon that spiritual world and personal association with the Godhead can give up his material connections even while living in the material world. This param and the param dhamma mentioned in several places in the Bhagavad Gita are one and the same. One who goes to the param dhamma does not return to the material world. This freedom is not possible even by reaching the topmost loka of the material world. The life air passes through seven openings, namely two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, and one mouth. Generally, it passes through the mouth at the time of an ordinary man's death. But the yogi, as above mentioned, who controls the life air in his own way, generally releases the life air by puncturing the cerebral hole in the head. The yogi therefore blocks up all the above mentioned seven openings so that the life air will naturally burst forth through the cerebral hole. This is the sure sign of a great devotee's leaving the material connection. Om Aginat Tamaranda Shah Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayamupa Kadamayam Dharati Swaparantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vikams Cha. Jai. That's as far as I go. Actually, if you read the translation, it's in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita, to just as much as of the prayer as I just said, it's complete. It starts off with the spiritual master, you're offering obeisances and praying for the mercy of the spiritual master, the Vaishnavs, the six Goswamis, Lord Chaitanya and all his associates, Radha and Krishna, and there. So you got everything right there. It's all covered. And of course, with praying, though, it's, the more the better, but that you covered everybody with that much prayer. Okay, so the reason I, before I started even reading Prabhupada's translation and purport, where I read those few sentences, because you might have picked up as I said read the translation, Sukadeva Goswami says, therefore the bhakti yogi should push the life air up between the eyebrows and then blocking the seven outlets of the life air, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So when I read that, I thought to myself, wait a second, why is Sukadeva Goswami even talking about that? Because already earlier in the second chapter, or back even in the first chapter, it's already there's that verse, Etajnir Vijamananam Ichitam Akatobayam Yoginam Nirpanirninam Harinam Anukirtanam, that the chanting of the holy name is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all. So it seems like it's already been established earlier that hearing and chanting bhakti yoga is the way to go, as far as going back to Godhead. So just like in the Bhagavad Gita in the 8th chapter, Krishna describes what different people, transcendentalists, do to go back to Godhead. But then he explains to Arjuna, you don't have to worry about that. Anyway, but because Sukadeva Goswami was saying bhakti yogi here, so nobody gets confused, that's why I read those sentences. Because Prabhupada makes it clear in that previous purport that, okay, yeah, it's not like this is not a bona fide process. It's not bogus, it's bona fide. But it's for the old days. Prabhupada actually even uses that. He says, in the olden days, right? In the olden days, such practice was very common for the transcendentalists, but for the mode of life and character in those days were favorable. But in modern days, now, in other words, okay, when the influence of Kali Age is so disturbing, practically everyone is untrained in this art of bodily exercise, and he doesn't say it, but I'll say it, more or less incapable of doing it. It's not easy. That's a difficult process. So we're not trained to do it, and it ain't for us. It's not what we are bhakti yogis, okay? But don't get the idea that, well, I'm a bhakti yogi. I guess maybe I should start practicing that in my ashram room in the evenings before I take rest or something like that. Don't. Forget all about it. Don't worry. It's nice to know about. It was for the old days, as Prabhupada said here. So I wanted to make sure nobody got hung up on that, Because sometimes you see devotees, messing around in the lotus position and this and that. It's okay if you're doing it for health purpose or something like that, but as far as a process for spiritual realization, no, that's not meant for us. Although it is a bona fide process, but we're not capable of doing it. Similarly, in the last paragraph of the purport, Prabhupada refers to this again. He doesn't in the main body of the purport, but in the last paragraph he comes back to that and kind of specifically refers to these points in the translation. And he makes the point about how the generally people, the life air passes out through the mouth. But he says, but the yogi, which in the translation referred to as a bhakti yoga, therefore blocks up all the above mentioned seven openings so that the life air will naturally burst forth through the cerebral hole. And then he says, this is the sure sign of a great devotee's having the material connection. So it is, but it's not for us to follow in the footsteps of that. That's not our program. It's not our process. You see? And although, it's a bona fide thing. Previous ages, you turn back the clock. I don't know how far you'd have to turn it back, but back to the beginning of the Satya Yuga or that period there where they meditated for, they lived for 100,000 years. Prabhupada says someplace in one purport that the people were on the level of Paramahamsas, right? And they could spare 60,000 years to meditate, and get really good at this, and they could do it, but not us. And the further confirmation of that appears, once again, in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is describing to Arjuna the times at which a person, if they pass away in such and such and such, in the light, there's different conditions he describes, and if somebody passes away at those times, they go back to Godhead. But if they don't pass away at those times, then they return to the material world. Definitely in the purport, Prabhupada says, don't worry about it. It's not for devotees. Devotees just leave everything in the hands of Krishna. And that's good enough. That works. So that's our program. Our program is just leave it all up to Krishna. We engage in a bhakti yoga as given to us by our, spiritual master and the predecessor acharyas, and we leave everything up to them, Krishna. And, as far as our going back to the spiritual world or not. And so bhakti yoga means engaging in bhakti, means, of course, following the instructions as, given to us by the spiritual master. Chanting, regular principles, sadhana bhakti, the different aspects, morning program like that, and trying to serve the mission. Also, another aspect of it is praying for the mercy. Praying for the mercy, that's kind of an important thing there. It's actually, I don't know if it's, I guess it's also technically part of even sadhana bhakti, early stages. In other words, Prabhupada mentions it someplace here. Oh, yeah, back in that. He said about this process of the raising the life airs, he said, the practice is more or less a physical endeavor for spiritual perfection. See? So, but what we're doing is not. I mean, this physical stuff involved, you have to chant. That's, you're using your mouth, you're using your hands, you're using. But it's not dependent upon that. And there's like this process that's being described here in this verse. Your success in it is dependent upon, to a certain extent, your physical prowess. You got to be good. You got to know what you're doing. Technique matters. But bhakti yoga it's not the case. See, it's not bhakti yoga is not dependent upon physical laws of nature. It's beyond that. Just like, give an example. If I had a torch here, okay. And I said, I blasphemed, and it was lit, and it was fiery, coming. And I said, you stupid torch, you think you're so powerful. If I blasphemed it like anything, and I put it, held it, it would still burn. In other words, it's just a physical thing. Fire is going to burn, whether you like it or you don't like it. Whether you believe it in it or you don't believe in it. It's fire just does that. You follow what I'm saying? Same thing with water. It's going to wet. It doesn't matter whether it's going to drown you if you jump in the water. So that's physical, mechanical. That's what's meant by those words. It's just laws of nature. It's just how it works. But bhakti yoga is not like that. We're doing certain things. We're chanting and we're you know, worshiping the deity and we're offering our food. But the success in bhakti yoga is dependent upon an attitude, your attitude, because, and your relationship with Krishna. You see? So that's why praying is an important thing. You know, praying for the mercy is an important part of being successful in bhakti yoga. That's something, so we should do that, following in the footsteps of the acharyas. One particular acharya I'd like to highlight today, you know, call to everybody's attention, is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, which I think it's appropriate because yesterday was Gaur Purnima. And, you know, most of what we know about Lord Chaitanya, we're learning from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. You know, that's the biography of Lord Chaitanya that Prabhupada gave us, right? We don't really, Prabhupada didn't give us the Chaitanya Bhagavat. He didn't, you know, say we shouldn't read it or anything like that. But Prabhupada translated and gave us the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author of which was, right, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So, really, the most of what we know about Lord Chaitanya, who is, you know, the most magnanimous incarnation, is coming from him. So he was, you know, he used to pray for the mercy. You know, there's one, actually, this, let me figure out how I'm going to come into this here. This occurred to me that, you know, this, because I look at a picture of the six Goswamis, and I have here, probably, I might have given everybody in this room one of these, okay? And underneath the picture, there's a quotation from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ancha Lila. It's volume 1, text 3 and 4. And the verses is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, I prayed to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Rupa Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath. So now, I want to point out that he wasn't just doing that for the heck of it. You know, it's not like he was just doing that because, oh, that's nice. That's nice. You know, that's what devotees do. This is very practical. I'll explain my point. He says, why? He says, so that all my impediments to my writing this literature, he's referring to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, will be annihilated and my real desire will be fulfilled. See? So in other words, I'll give you a little background of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So he was a very amazing devotee. You know, little people know this, a little bit of his life is, you know, he wasn't living in Vrindavan initially. He was, you know, someplace in the Vanashram system, and he had a brother, and his brother was visited by a devotee of Lord Nityananda, Miniketana Ramdas. And when this devotee came, his brother didn't show any respect. Right? Didn't show any respect. Or maybe it was the priest didn't show any. The priest didn't show any respect. Anyway, his brother either didn't show any respect or sided with the person who didn't show any respect to the devotee of Lord Nityananda. And so this devotee, Miniketana Ramdas, he took it like, well, you're not showing respect to me. That means you're not showing respect to Lord Nityananda. And he left, offended. And this went, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he pointed out to his brother, no, you made a mistake. You know, that was wrong. You know, if you can't respect Lord Chaitanya and not respect Lord Nityananda. Anyway, that was like a difference of opinion with Pina. Anyway, he had a dream. And in this dream, Lord Nityananda came to him and told him that he should go to Vrindavan. And there he would attain all desirable things. And he woke up the next morning fully remembering the dream. And he went, yeah, let's do it. And he went. And when he got to Vrindavan, Prabhupada mentioned someplace in one purport that he was very determined not to dwell on the past, and he just forgot all about his previous ashram. And when he was in Vrindavan, he was very famous for that. He's Krishna Katha, that's it. He was somebody you couldn't talk nonsense to. And Prabhupada said that's very appropriate for somebody who's in either the Vanaprastha or the Sannyas ashram, like that stage of life. So he was a very serious devotee. And he was old. He was older at that point, and the devotees could see that he was a very serious devotee. So anyway, so sometime he was there for some time, I think Lord Chaitanya had already left the planet. I can't remember the chronology so perfectly, but it's not important. The gist of it was that at some point, devotees approached him, and they asked him to write about the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, because Vrindavan Das Thakur, who's considered the literary incarnation or an incarnation of Vyasadeva, somehow when he, in his Chaitanya Bhagavat, I won't say he got sidetracked, but he described the early a part of Lord Chaitanya's life up until a certain age, up until when he took sannyas, and he described a lot about Lord Nityananda, but he didn't really either at all or very elaborately describe about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in what's devotees generally accept as the Madhya Lila and Ancha Lila. So the devotees in Vrindavan, they approached Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and they asked him if he would do that, if he would, you know, elaborate upon those or, you know, describe those. And he was hesitant. You know, he said, well, who am I, you know? I mean, but, you know, they were insistent. And so he said, well, okay, let's figure this out the Vaishnava way. So they went to the Sanatana Goswami's temple where the deity of Madan Gopal was there at the time. This is before the deities had to be removed from Vrindavan due to the aggression and atrocities of the Mohammedan rulers. So he started praying, you know, Dandabats, and started praying in front of the deity, and sure enough, a garland fell, which is taken as a sign by devotees that the blessings of the Lord are there. Because it's not like garlands fall every 5 minutes or every few seconds, right? You're a pujari, do garlands fall all the time? No. So there he was praying, and boom, a garland fell. So they took that as, he took that as, yep, this is, Madan Gopal wants me to do it. And so he, you know, decided, okay, I'll do it. And also in the Chaitanya, he describes that actually what I'm writing I'm just a puppet. I'm like a marionette. Prabhupada uses that word, marionette. I'm just following, taking the dictations from Madan Gopal. You see? Now you say, well, how's that? Well, and he give you a little further insight into that. And getting back to the original point I was making, why he's praying like this, because he describes elsewhere in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when he was writing this, he was old. You know, he was like, I think, 93 or 94 years old when he was writing the... he even had a few years on our Amala Bhakta Maharaj there. And, So he was old, and he describes, unlike Maharaj, he couldn't see, he couldn't hear, he couldn't walk, and he said, I can't even remember stuff. I don't know how I'm doing this. You know, he in one place in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he writes, he says, I don't know how I'm writing this, because it's a miracle to me how I'm even doing it. You see, so the whole thing was, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is actually like a gift from Lord Chaitanya or, you know, Krishna, because he just, you know, it wasn't written by a normal material process. You know, like a writer sits down and because he's smart and he can think and he's got, this was a transcendental process. This literature was produced, this is my understanding anyway, that literature was produced, the Chaitanya Charitamrita was produced, according to the author, by a totally transcendental process. He's being dictated to. That's what he said. I'm being dictated to by Madan Gopal. I'm old. I can't see. I can't hear. I can't walk. I can't even think. I can't even remember anything anymore. Somehow or another, I'm writing this. And it's a miracle to me. You see? So, getting back to the original point now again, that's why he's praying like this. Because, you know, he it was practical for him. It wasn't just some nice sentiment he was trying to express. He was trying to express something practical. He's telling everybody, hey, wake up, everybody. Listen, all devotees, listen to this. I was materially incapable of producing this literature, but I was asked to do it, and I got the blessings of Madan Gopal. And so this is how it happened. Was I prayed for the mercy of the six Goswamis. He's praised for the mercy of his predecessors, of his, you know, the predecessor acharyas, his spiritual superiors. And by their mercy, and the mercy of Madan Gopal, it was basically, you know, he was miraculously, he was able to produce the literature. You see? So, it's a good lesson for all of us that, you know, we need to do like that. Not write a literature, but in other words, the principle is there. The principle is that we are facing a challenge. You know, Krishna consciousness is a challenge. To become a pure devotee is at least I find it, it's challenging. You know, and sometimes it feels to me like it's overwhelming. I feel like that. I feel overwhelmed, and it's like, oh my God. You have to do a Draupadi. You know, when Draupadi was feeling overwhelmed because she was a great devotee, what did she do? Hey, Govinda. It's kind of like that. This is an elaboration on, hey, Govinda. No, it's you're realizing, I can't do this. This is an undaunting task. It's overwhelming to try to become a pure devotee, but I got to do it. I got to become a pure devotee. You know, that's what it's all about. That's the name of the game. So how I can't give up, but I feel like I can't do it. So what do? You pray for the, just like it says here, you pray for the mercy. And Prabhupada, by the way, you pray for, Prabhupada supports this point. And the purport, Prabhupada says, if we adhere to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, it could be six Goswamis, it could be the Panchatattva. There's other verses that say, you know, you substitute different transcendental personalities there, but the idea is that if you pray for the mercy and you follow the program, you know, you're engaging in sadhana bhakti and you pray for the mercy with that attitude of please help me, please, you know, help me become a successful disciple of my spiritual master. I pray like that, you know. Like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he had a particular goal to achieve. He had to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I have no such objective. My objective is just that if I could just be somehow or another be a successful disciple of my spiritual master, then my life will be complete. That's the only achievement that I'm really desirous of in this lifetime. If I could be a successful disciple. Successful in the sense of that Prabhupada's pleased, you know, of my spirit, then I feel like that's it, that's enough. My life has been a success. Okay, so, but that's challenging. So I pray for that, and you could pray. You know, everybody could have their own what you're praying for. But the program is, as Prabhupada says here, if you pray for that mercy, and if you adhere to the lotus feet, you're following the program, and you pray for the mercy. All impediments will be annihilated, and the transcendental devotional desire to the Supreme Lord will be fulfilled. So that's pretty significant. And I'd just like to... What time is it? Okay, I'll just... One short little kind of story, how I've experienced this working in my own life. I hope it's an appropriate... Anyway, this is back 40 years ago, about 40 years ago. I was in Australia, and I was doing some like admin management, and but they called me a co-temple president, but I wasn't. That was just a euphemistic title. I was actually kind of like more like a temple command. Anyway, they asked me to go out on the marathon. So I said, okay, wait, there's no question of refusing. But I hadn't been doing Sankirtan for quite a while, so I was kind of rusty, you could say. So at that particular time, we were selling paraphernalia. There was a problem in Australia, and everybody was... But the money went to the BBT, and we distributed books in a different way. But anyway, so it was the first day of the marathon, and... You know, I was with another devotee, and I was in a. We stopped in some town, and you know, in New South Wales, and I got out, and I had my roll of paintings, and I was thinking, man, I don't know about this. You know, I hadn't done Sankirtan for quite a while, and you know, wasn't particularly confident or enthusiastic, but I started going, you know, into a few shops here and there, you know, to try to, and everybody was kind of going, So after about like 45 minutes of trying with absolutely zero good results. I mean, nobody interested in me not feeling very enthusiastic dude. I just went back to the car, and I sat down in the car, and I just went, oh, this is going to be hellish, man. I mean, it was like it was a month-long marathon. It was for the whole month of December. And I just thought, uh-oh, this is going to be a bad time. And I just was, you know, kind of sitting there, like, feeling very discouraged. Anyway, so I looked up, and I thought, well, maybe I should try to read something or do something to try to get... On the dashboard was one book. There was one book on the dashboard. So I picked this. All right, let me read. It was a Prabhupada book. So let me read a little bit, and maybe that'll... You know. So I picked it up. It worked out. Just so happens it was the Anshalila Volume 1. It happened to be the Anshalila Volume 1. And I opened that up, and I started, and there it was. You know, that verse I read you was 3 and 4. So I read verse 1, verse 2, you know, and there's Krishnas Kaviraj going, Swami going, you know, I'm old, my path is difficult, and I use the mercy of the saints as my support. Anyway, then there's this verse. And I read this verse, and I read the purport, and I thought to myself, well, what do I got to lose? Really, honestly. I said, what do I got to lose? I'm going to try it. And I had some hope, you know. So I didn't know that the whole song by Srinivas Acharya at that point, the Sri Sri Sad Goswami Asika, I only knew one line, that Bande Rupa Sanatana Raguya Goshi Jiva Gopalaka. I knew that one line. So I just decided, I'm going to try. I'm going to get out there, and I'm just going to just pray to the mercy of the six Goswamis by chanting that mantra over and over again. And, you know, let's see what happens. As I said, what have I got to lose? So I just started, and I went back to, you know, to my spot, started my shops again. And lo and behold, honestly, practically, you know, I started feeling more enthusiastic, and the people started responding, and they, you know, started taking paintings and you know, purchasing them. Anyway, to make a long story short, and I will really cut it short, is... it got better and better each day. It just kept getting better and better. And I realized, I could understand something to this, man. I mean, something's happening here. This is not ordinary. That's how I felt. So I decided I'm going to learn the whole song. So I memorized the whole song, you know, the Sanskrit, or I guess the Sanskrit, and the English translation. And then I expanded my meditation to just chanting the whole song over and over again. I would chant the Sanskrit, and then I would recite the English translation. And then I would chant the Sanskrit, and I would recite the English translation. And over and over and over like that. And, you know, day after day after day. And anyway, I wound up tying for first in the marathon. So as I went from sitting in the car totally discouraged, feeling like, forget it, this is hopeless. And then all I did was just change my meditation to, you know, just making the decision to place my faith in what I'd read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and try to apply it. And I did that, and then woo, things happen, you know. And I mean, as I said, I'm cutting it short because I don't want to, but all sorts of really far out incredible things happen. And as I said, I wound up really doing good for the whole marathon. So that was my first big experience with this, you know, particular instruction, and there's been many more over the years. So anyway, it works. It's not just like some words on a page or something like that. This is practical stuff. It's something that could help you in a very concrete, tangible way in your spiritual life. I could say more, but I'm not going to because I know I'm over time. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have anything that they're just dying to say that they'd like to say? Yes. Prema Sankirtan. Garanga Prem went 5 minutes over in the kirtan, by the way, so you can, whatever, however much I'm over, please deduct 5 minutes. Huh?
The life air of different pass through different holes, like the cerebral hole and the mouth. What about the devotees from our ISKCON movement?
Prabhu. Thank you for your question, but where were you at the beginning of the class? That was like that was my whole thing for the first 5, 10, 15 minutes. Don't worry about that. We're bhakti yogis, but
I read that thing, and Prabhupada said in the olden days, that was, you know, people could do that. They were trained. They knew how. Everything was different. That's not for us. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You are a bhakti yogi, but you're not a bhakti yogi that's meant to be practicing that. Don't pay any attention to it at all whatsoever. Didn't you hear that at the beginning?
Yeah, I heard
it. Yes. Or did I misunderstand your question?
No, I heard about that, yes.
Did I misunderstand your question? Huh? Okay, you didn't believe me the first time. Now you believe me, right? Prema? Anything?
Actually, very similar. Similar question. So, is explained in on the inner purport, then they are still devotee, they are sign of great devotee, if he can do that. So, in the past, this kind of people who used to do this kind of yoga, some of them are also devotee of Hare Krishna, devotee of Krishna.
Yeah, they're devotees. In the translation,
all of them, some of them maybe.
In the translation, it refers to these bhakti yogis should push the life air up between the eyebrows. Okay, so that's there in the translation, and Prabhupada does say in that one sentence that this is a sure sign of great devotees leaving the material connection. So it was something. It's part of bhakti yoga. It's something that was done by devotees, but giving Prabhupada the last word, he does say here in the previous purport, in the olden days, such practice was very common for transcendentalists, for the mode of life and character of those days was favorable. But in modern days means now, okay, in modern days, when the influence of Kali Age is so disturbing, practically everyone is untrained in this art of bodily exercise. Concentration of the mind is more easily attained in these days by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The results are more effective than those derived from the inner exercise of the life air.
So basically, all this yoga society, they're just useless. They're cheaters.
Yeah. Well, it's Prabhupada says it's gymnastics. It's good for, could be good for health, but not for spiritual advancement. Okay, thank you very much. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.